I want to tell you about Ted. Ted was a good man, liked by many. And when he died, he stood before St. Peter. And St. Peter asked him, "Why should I open the gates of heaven to you?" And Ted said, "Well, I've tried to live a good life." And St. Peter shook his head as if he'd heard that a billion times. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. You tell me all the good you've done, and I'll give you points according to your good deeds. And when you reach 100, I'll open the gates." Ted thought, "Okay, great." He said, "I was head usher at First United Methodist Church for 50 years. "That's great," said St. Peter. "That's worth 2 points. "Well, I was married to the same woman for 65 years and never cheated on her." "Remarkable," Peter declared. "That's worth 3 points. And Ted frowned, "Only 3. He said, "Well, how about this?" He said, "I started a soup kitchen in town and I worked at a homeless shelter." "Terrific," said St. Peter. "That's 2 more points. And Ted's eyes got big. He said, "Only 2? 2? At this rate, the only way I'm getting into heaven is by the grace of God." And St. Peter smiled and said, "Now that's the answer I was looking for. Come on in." We can laugh, but death isn't very funny, is it? It's not funny and it's not desired. In the years that I have been pastoring, I've had the opportunity to officiate many funerals, too many, in my opinion. But several years ago, I got an opportunity to do something that I have been granted that again in the past several years, and that is to sit down with someone and plan their funeral before they die. For there are things that they would like me to read, songs that they would like to have, and they want me to know these things. You know, we dream and plan of many things in our lives. We plan to play sports. We plan to learn to drive, to vote, to go to college or start a profession. We dream and plan our weddings, and we dream and plan for our families, and we plan for retirement. But one thing most of us don't do is we don't dream or plan for our death. And why is that? Well, for some it's fear. It's a fear of the unknown, the unknown timing, the fear of the unknown other world. For many of us, I don't think it's so much we're afraid of dying as that we're afraid of how we're going to die. Woody Allen once said, "I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." Death is something that we don't like to talk about. It's something we'd rather skip. Unfortunately, we can't. Because we all fall short of the glory of God, and we sin. And according to Scripture, the penalty for sin is death. Oh, that there was only something we could do. Well, there is. It has been proven that those who have the most birthdays live longer. So all you 29-year-olds need to have more birthdays. But on a more serious note, a medical study published by the Journal of Public Health followed a diverse group of people for over 28 years. And they found that those who regularly attended worship lived 36% longer than those who did not. So I guess I'll be seeing all of you back here next week, right? Notice the study said 30% longer. However, regular worshipers still had an appointment with death. It was just postponed to a later date. Oh, if there was only something else we could do. Well, there is. As a matter of fact, it's already been done by our sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say, in a way, it's already been done because until Christ returns, we will all still die a physical death. However, because of God's amazing grace, we can be raised from physical death to spiritual life. And isn't that wonderful, right? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says many wonderful things, doesn't it? But it also says some wonderful things about death, the death of a Christian, that is. Even so, we still see death as in a negative light. Death isn't something that we embrace, but we despise. We prefer togetherness. We prefer intimacy and happiness and joy. But death leaves this big hole in our hearts. It causes us sorrow and separation. But the death of a Christian doesn't have to be, it should not be, all sorrow and gloom. And that's why as Christians we often call the funeral service a celebration of life, a celebration of the life that we shared with that person here and that they now share with God in heaven, and one day we will be reunited with them for all eternity. This isn't to say that death is not a sad experience. This isn't to say that we shouldn't mourn for our friends and our loved ones. Sadness and a sense of loss are all emotions that God has given us to express our feelings. However, we should not grieve as those who have no hope. We can't get lost in the feelings. We can't allow the sorrow to entangle us and drag us down. We must understand and believe that through faith in Jesus Christ, our loved ones are experiencing the best of life now. Throughout Scripture, we're told and shown how our ways are not God's ways, that our way of thinking is miles apart from the way God thinks. In God's world, the last will be first, and the meek inherit the earth. The weak are strong, and through Christ, death, the ultimate tragedy, is turned into the ultimate triumph. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, they will not die, but have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus came to make a better way for us, to give us something to hope for, something to believe in. He came to take away our fears in this life and of the one to come. In John 14, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in Me." And then He makes this promise to all who would follow Him. "In My Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back for you, so that where I am, you may be also." And then He assures us that we know the way to heaven. Now when Thomas said, "But Lord, we don't. How can we know?" Jesus said, "Thomas, you do know. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And then He makes another promise. "I will not leave you orphaned. I will not abandon you, but I will come for you." And then once again He tells us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Jesus knows our fears when it comes to death, and He tells us so. Do not be afraid. And in John 16:33, He tells us why we shouldn't be afraid. And in wrapping up all that He's been teaching His disciples through five chapters, He says, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. I've taught you all these things that you may have peace in this life. Yes, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. Be at peace, for I have overcome the world." Jesus tells us these things to alleviate our fears of life and of death. And He has taken the curse. He's made it into a blessing. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "To live is Christ. And if I die, well then that is gain." Gain. But in our limited human understanding, it is still difficult for many of us to see the blessing, to see the gain. Even for Christians, death is something that we would just rather not. The death of a loved one is something that we see as abhorrent. However, the psalmist assures us in Psalm 116:15 that precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What does that mean? It means that God isn't just interested in, He doesn't just value the life that we live in this world, but He also values the one in the next, and He sees our death. He knows our pain. God feels our tears, and He has grieved our suffering. All of it, All of it, not just life, but all of it is important to God. No, death isn't precious to us, but it is to God. We don't relish in the thought of experiencing death, our own or that of a loved one, but as Christians, we have been given some wonderful promises to help alleviate our fears of death. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, a poet from the 1800s, once said that to her, the sweetest verse of Scripture was Psalm 127, verse 2, God giveth his beloved sleep. God giveth his beloved sleep. Jesus also referred to death as sleep. In John 11, after being told that Lazarus had become sick, Jesus hung around for a few days, and then he told his disciples to ready themselves to travel, for their friend Lazarus had fallen asleep and he must go and awaken him. Assuming that Lazarus was still sick, the disciples said, but Lord, if he's ill, he's going to get better. And realizing that they did not pick up on his metaphor, Jesus spoke plainly, look, Lazarus is dead. In Mark 5, when told that Jairus' daughter had died, Jesus said, why all the commotion? Why all the wailing? The child is not dead. She just sleeps. Jesus referred to death as sleep to indicate that it is but a temporary condition. We live, we work, we play, but when we grow tired and weary, we must sleep, and we're strengthened and renewed for a new day. Physical sleep is a blessing for our mortal bodies, but it cannot compare to the sleep that God gives his beloved, his faithful children. Wouldn't it be wonderful if tonight when we laid down and closed our eyes and went to sleep, that tomorrow we would wake up to a world without conflict and war, no more hate, no more racism, no more struggle, no more poverty, no more worries, no more fears, no more sickness, no more death. It would be wonderful, amen? But the world's sleep cannot offer us that. It can only promise us more of the same. However, God's sleep, when we rest in Christ, we awaken to a new world. A new light illuminates our eyelids, and it doesn't radiate from the sun, but it radiates from God's glory. Our lungs are filled not with the stench of the world's contaminated air, but the air that is produced from all that is pure and all that is holy. As our consciousnesses transition from a state of sleep to a state of awakefulness, we realize that we're clutching something, and it's not the filthy rags of this world's bed covers, but it is the hand of God. And when we open our eyes, we look into those of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I can only imagine the beauty and the wonder. Although we despise death as believers, we should not fear it. And here is why. For when we awaken, we will see Jesus as he truly is, the King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. And we will be completely sanctified. Our old sinful selves will be gone, and we will be given new bodies as God chooses. We will be new creations, washed and cleaned in the blood of Christ, made pure in the image of Christ. The greed and the envy, the lies and lust, the corruption and immorality of this world that caused so much oppression, abuse, pain, suffering, and death, it'll all be gone. For in heaven, there will be no more tears, only pure joy. For our Lord will anoint our heads with oil, and our cups will run over, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? However, not just us, but all those who have gone on before us, including those we love, those whose hand we have tenderly held as we tearfully sat next to their bedside, whose face we lovingly kissed as they commended their last breath into the hands of the Lord. And here's the excellent good news. For those of faith, It is not goodbye, but rather so long for now, until we meet again. For they are now experiencing a life that we can only imagine. They are now part of the great cloud of witnesses who pray for us and look down upon us and cheer us on in our life's journey, awaiting our arrival to the heavenly shores. For the faithful, death is not our demise. It is our finest hour. It is our victory. The writer of Hebrews said, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Oh, but thanks be to God who gives us victory." Us victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And on that day, He will call our name and we will rise. We will rise.